PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I am here to look. I sound better, don't I? I sound better than the last couple episodes. I was sick, and now I'm better. And that's how things work. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today with my good friend and yours, Mr. Bill William J. Gagliardi. How are you?
I sound less better. Thank you for giving me that cold, Mike.
You're welcome. But this is the time of year where you play that game, cold, COVID, or pollen.
Not going to lie, I did take a COVID test 2 days ago. Yeah. I got them out of their hibernation. It was like on its borderline of expiration.
Yeah.
And did I take it accurately? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you're just trying your best to find a positive somewhere. But yeah, I think it's just pollen.
I took one recently too. And it wasn't the one that they've had for the last couple of years. It was somehow more complicated, but yeah. The same basic idea. And it's like, how did we go backwards on this?
I don't know.
But I ended up not having it. But good. I didn't trust the results. I was like, Although I didn't feel tired the way I did the first time I had COVID.
But I mean, if you've seen the expiration dates on the packs, because like, of course, we all have like 40 of them now in our classes at the ready.
Yeah, I used them like Legos. Yeah. I just build houses out of them.
But like on the box, it'll have one expiration date, and on the test itself, it would have another.
Oh, really?
So, you go with God, I guess.
Yeah.
So well, you ran out of Legos? Is that what happened? So,
well,
it's probably cheaper for the COVID boxes.
I was working, not my current job, but my last job. They would just deliver just bundles of them to the office.
Yeah.
Like way past when everyone needed them. To the point where, like, I would give them, like, treats. Like, welcome to the office. Here, take a candy and a couple COVID tests. And people were like, oh, thanks for giving me something to carry.
You know, I'm surprised that not more people gave them out for Halloween trick-or-treaters.
That's true.
Like, here you go. Take a couple of COVID tests.
Well, Bill, we're not here to talk about COVID. We're here to talk about distant future.
Very distant future.
We're here to talk about the anime motion picture Vampire Hunter D from
1985
came out in theaters and video the same day.
I didn't know that. Because
it's technically an OVA, original video animation, which was like basically straight to video anime was like a big boom at that time.
Okay.
But they put it out in theaters as well.
Yeah.
But it does have that straight to video vibe. I love it.
Yes.
I think it's both rich and beautiful and gorgeous, but also I could see the cheapness of it.
Yes. It falls in like right in that in between of like major motion picture.
Right.
And, but like I think a lot of that hides behind the like you get a pass because this predates Akira. This predates like a lot of Miyazaki films. Some. But
right.
So well,
this was your idea. Tell me I was completely unaware of it. I mean, I had heard the title, but like I'd never seen it. I had no idea of its legacy. And what's your history with it?
Well, I mean, I'm pumped the brakes on me if I go a little too far, a little too soon, because I mean, I've been separated from just this movie. I can't say that I'm a big fan of the franchise, but
you haven't read all 49 novels that it's based on?
Not yet. This week I just heard the first chapter of the first book, so I'm working on it.
There you go.
I watched this movie, I don't know on what channel, but this is, I've mentioned my friend Billy a couple of times. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, because he was the older friend that like the older nerd who got us into
things.
Yes, he knew cool things. He got me into certain music. He got me into different comics, video games, everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was just the cool kid on the block.
That's what I aim for this podcast to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Your cool cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a bit of a drug problem? Probably. But does he know the best movies to watch? Yes.
Absolutely, he does. Can you go through his drawers? Please don't.
Yeah.
Don't tell his mom.
Please don't.
But he had a hot box like a lot of people did back in this 90s.
First of all.
Let's talk about what a hot box is, I guess.
For the kids. The kids have no idea. It's not smoking a bunch of weed in a car so we all get high. It's something entirely different.
No. You know what a jailbroken fire stick is, or is that too far away for you?
No, I think that would probably make more sense to me.
Yes. Okay, so predating a jailbroken fire stick and predating DVRs and everything, the cable company, if you slip the guy, if you grease the guy a little bit,
yeah,
you know, our
parents. It was very simple.
Our parents did this, not us.
No, no, no. This is definitely like a this is before.
Before the age of digital.
Yeah.
The guy used to just like plug in an extra wire and you got all the channels.
It was simple as pie. I mean, like, there's like, I guess there was like one little governor that would keep you from getting everything. And
yes.
All the guy had to do was like move that and then here's everything.
What a time to be alive.
Including porn.
Channel 62 and 63.
Yeah.
I mean, pre-internet, that was the gateway.
Yes.
For many a young teen.
So how did the hot box lead to you seeing Vampire Hunter D?
Oh, right. We're talking about that. Actually, it had really nothing to do with the hot box, but however, that's why we gravitated, because like, oh, okay, yeah, Billy's got the hot box, so let's go over.
He was
over
the
and
media house.
Yeah, they had all the video games. They had cable. We didn't have cable in my house growing up, but I don't know if it was on Sci-Fi or TNT. I think it was TNT.
That you really?
But, yeah,
I've just in the last couple of weeks or last 2 weeks of like reading stuff, I know that a lot of people were introduced to it through Sci-Fi.
Yes. Now, a little quick history. This is my first anime ever.
Interesting.
Full stop.
So, were you like, you know, your idea of cartoon was like Disney, and then you see this, and you see like titties and people grabbing tits. I don't know if they showed that on TV.
No, they did edit it a lot, but however, it was still like, you know, I mean, you got pantsless Doris there the entire time.
Yes. She is in her underwear.
Aggressively pantsless. I mean, don't worry. We'll get into the pantslessness as much as possible.
She is an anime girl through and through. The fan service in this movie is ridiculous.
Well, if you go into the book, her introduction is when she meets D on the path, she fights him completely naked as a distraction.
Sure, sure.
Because of reasons.
Yes, 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 yes.
But anyway, not about the book, about the movie. Yeah, first introduction to anime completely. Before that, it was Disney. I would even say The Simpsons, because we're saying like this is around like 1992 it was introduced to us.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a cartoon look like that. It was the first time I've seen like action lines, you know, like when like they fight and then you just see like a bunch of lines that like makes it look like they're doing something, but they're really staying still. But I love the animation style and I love that how gory it was, how action packed. And I was into vampire lore just through games like Castlevania or like Monster Squad or The Lost Boys. Like I was growing up with a lot of that stuff in the later 80s anyway. So this was cool. This was unique.
Takes more than a healthy dose of this.
I got a beat by beat. It's proto Castlevania.
Yeah.
From that point on, I was never a huge anime fan, but like, then I saw Dragon Ball Z and I was like, okay, this is the same style.
Didn't
really get into it because I couldn't really follow like canon at the time. And Dragon Ball Z was pretty ambitious with canon for a cartoon. But from that point on, I was like going to flea markets and I'd like see like the Fatal Fury motion picture or like the Street Fighter motion picture. And it's like, so it was my gateway. And that's why I was like, incredible. Mike, we got to do this movie. And you're like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you just saw it the last week. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I had heard the title, of course, before. So it was like a vague, you know, something. And I didn't know, like, I didn't know where it was in history or what it did. So you would just tell me how much you like it. So I, for some reason, despite its importance, both this and its sequel are like not published any real legitimate way here. Sorry to say. So I had to watch it. There's a few different versions on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I found a really good rip actually. And I watched on YouTube and I just loved it. Like the very first image is like burned into my head, which is just this groovy, weird castle, which is like Gothic European, in front of a desolate wasteland with a big like purpley planetoid behind it.
Yeah.
So in one image, it's like Gothic sci-fi fantasy.
Yep.
It just immediately says this world that you're about to enter is crazy. And for me, I mean, it's just like catnip. I mean, if I had seen it when I was, when you saw it, I would have probably had the exact same thing. Like, I love it now, but I would have been obsessed with it if I saw it younger.
I mean, think about seeing that in 1992.
Right.
What genres do we have here? Horror? Yeah.
Yeah.
Action? Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic? Well, it probably was one of the ones that started it.
Yeah.
Western?
Yeah, yep. It's definitely a Western. He's basically the man with no name character that Clint Eastwood plays.
Yeah.
In the spaghetti westerns.
He
has maybe, 12 lines of dialogue in the whole thing?
Yeah.
The main character?
It's absolutely... I mean, yeah, that whole, rogue stoicness of it. Or very much like David Carradine in Kung Fu.
Yes.
It is very much... Or like The Mandalorian, rolling into town, doing a task, and then leaving.
Yeah.
That's what the story is. That's it.
Yeah.
And the story is... the story is just seven scenes. It's a very nothing.
It's so narrative. It's we go one place and then back and then back again two times, but not in a tedious way. But it even ends like Shane, where he's just going by and the kids are like, "Bye, D. Yeah. Bye. Thanks."
That's
it. He's like, "I'm going. I'm done with you."
40 more stories to do.
I don't know. Do those characters ever come back? I don't know. It began as novels, actual novels. Yes. But then it was also a manga, and then there's this in the second movie, and there was a game for PS1, I think?
There was. It was a little crude.
Random.
Yeah. That's why. It's extremely successful. 17 million copies of the book have been sold.
Wild.
Or the book series have been sold.
Yeah.
But in the West... It is it's not even a cult. It's like a subcult.
Mm-hmm.
But why was it on major cable networks in 92? When anime wasn't that big.
Mm.
How in 1985 was it a culmination of so many genres and not really have that much of a story but still work beautifully?
Yeah.
That's why it's so fascinating. It's not a movie that's going to really blow you away. I mean, we got to sell it, right? Yeah, it's going to blow you away.
I mean, it blew me away. Yeah. I mean, maybe a younger person would feel... I mean, maybe part of what blew me away was, when you're a pop culture man child, you get a sense of when something seems foundational.
Yeah.
And you've somehow missed it. And you're it's like a little pocket in time that maybe you weren't totally aware of. And then you're like, oh, like in a beautiful mind where all the things click in his head. It's like, oh, now I'm understanding Blade and fucking Hellboy and early PS2 game. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a big piece, big Jenga piece that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. All this, I'm not even saying it's a tired trope, because people are still whenever you say oh, this is a post-apocalyptic sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
Okay, great, let's make that. But this predates it 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and when I watched it, it made me think of, and this sounds like I'm really being hyperbolic, but it made me think of when I saw Star Wars the first time in a specific way. Because at this point in 2024, I know the name of every fucking ship. I know everything about the Skywalkers. I know every alien's fucking name and race. But remember when you first saw Star Wars?
Yeah.
It's just fucking weird. You're on a ship and there's a gold robot talking to another robot. And then we're on a planet and everything's dirt, but they're farmers. Yeah. And then he goes into a bar and there's a fucking devil guy and a hammerhead shark guy and a fucking weird guy with a weird pig face. And you're you're what is any of this? And now we know everything. You sent me a video this week about the hand.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I was like, I don't want to know what the hand is.
You know what?
I like that it's weird as fuck.
I'm glad that you didn't, because it got me nowhere. Because I'm like, what is his hand?
Yeah. I saw his hand and I was like, okay, we're doing this.
Mm.
That's enough for me.
Now, I'm glad that you sent me a redub of it, because the original, I don't know if you saw the dub that I sent you.
No, I didn't know.
The Hand had this like nasally, like kind of type of voice, where this one, it kind of sounds like he's a mutant.
Yeah. So yeah, there's two, or there were, the history of the story was, I think there's two English dubs, mm-hmm. or maybe was it this one or the second one that was dubbed in English first before Japanese?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But there's also like, I found the clip that I think I sent you of the dubs are different. Like one dub's more frank. Like when Doris meets Dee, she says like, you can have sex with me.
Right.
Whereas in the dub that I saw, which is, I guess, a later dub, she just says, you can do whatever you want with me.
Right. There's a couple of things I don't want to give away until like we go into the story, but like the sacred ancestor.
Yeah.
That's dubbed differently in the other one, which we'll get into later.
But, really?
Yeah.
You know, in the second movie, which I also watched the second movie, which I enjoyed, but it seems to me that people like it more,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. I enjoy the first one much more because it has like a Saturday morning quality. Like every color, every line, I feel like are an effort made.
Yeah.
Whereas the second one is like, it's later on, there's a little bit of CG going on.
Yeah.
This one's just like, I could feel like they're drawing all this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, you know, it's the creativity and your limitations, you know, you really utilizing the space. And also Vampire Hunter D influenced so much stuff afterwards.
Yeah.
So now you have something coming out in 2000 where all that stuff exists already. So now you're having this compound influence.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're not making another Vampire Hunter D movie. You're making a culmination of all of pop culture. With Vampire Hunter D in it, which is, yeah, this is still entertaining and everything, but like,
yeah.
You caught lightning in a bottle. If you want to make a sequel, you would have done it like 3 years later, tops.
Yeah, it's crazy that it did take like 20 years. It's crazy that there's two films.
Yeah.
But there's so much other media revolving, and it is crazy that it's not like out. Like, why is it not streaming?
You think that
somewhere legally?
You think that there would have been like a TV series or like just anything else in the media?
Think about like something like Evangelion, which has like fucking snacks and book bags and T-shirts and fucking shaving cream. Like the amount of Evangelion. For a show that's so goddamn nihilistic, the amount of tie-in bullshit is unbelievable. And like, where is that stuff for this?
Yeah. Well, I think all that stuff for this is in Castlevania.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, that, you know, so this came out, the books came out in 1982. The movie comes out in 1985. And then Castlevania comes out in 86, 87.
Yeah.
We see Doris with a whip.
Yeah, first the whip. Yeah.
You got a whip.
Yeah.
You got one of the first scenes we see of Magnus Lee is he's just like towering over Doris.
Yeah.
He's cloaked. He looks exactly like when Dracula resurrects in Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
And then also, D is Alucard.
Right.
So like the whole Castlevania series that's on Netflix and all of Symphony of the Night, the whole success of that would not exist. Like, when was the first time you've heard of a half vampire, half man? Blade?
Right, yeah.
Symphony of the Night?
Right.
This predated all this. This is the half breed. So it's just like,
I mean, it's exactly that. I mean, it's Alucard is just, it's the same thing. It's like he's a descendant. He's a half human hunter of vampires, but is half vampire, and he's fucking related to the big guy. It's like, that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
That was back when you could just steal from other places and get along. Like in the early 90s, when like you look at like how much the Matrix like steals from like Ghost in the Shell,
right?
And they're like, we're homaging, and it's like, all right, well, that's fine. Like you can't do shit like that anymore.
Yeah. So,
well, I want to say we haven't said yet the book series, which I think it started in 83.
Yes.
There are 41 of them currently. Is by Hideyuki Kikuchi.
Yes.
The film from 85 is directed by Toyo Ashida.
Yes.
The screenplay is by Yasushi Hirano.
That is correct.
When it was in theaters, it was distributed by Toho, who does Godzilla movies and all that.
Oh, okay.
When I went to see Godzilla Minus One, I went to like an advanced screening.
Yeah.
So I thought like, there'll be other G fans, as we call ourselves. And when the Toho thing came up, I clapped and no one clapped. And I literally got mad. I was like, really? Really? I looked around and said, really, really? I was like, oh, I thought we were Godzilla fans.
So is it like the same as like if a Lucasfilm
yes.
title card came up?
Right. It's the Toho. Come on.
That's Godzilla. The brand. That's the brand. If it wasn't
we're there, here to see a Godzilla movie. Why are you not excited, fucking kids?
Oh, man. They don't even know what they're appreciating anymore.
But to me, it means quality. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. This will be quality. It begins with a, after that great image that I talked about, it also...
Which is an architect's nightmare.
But the weird...
Like the gentlest wind would have blown that castle down.
Well, it does get sucked into like another dimension at the end, well, I think.
I know I'm fast forwarding here, but like, and let's go back to the Castlevania thing. Let's like, why is it that when a vampire dies, their castle gets destroyed? This is like a trope in video
games. This is if Seinfeld were a video
like,
game. Yeah,
it's just like,
why?
The structure of this building is being held up by the life of one person. Like,
I think the real, and I hate to answer your silly question with reality, with an actual answer, but I think the real answer is going back to like the Gothic literary tradition is like houses are always a metaphor for families or units. Like, think about, like, the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Fall of the House of Usher. The whole house, like, is destroyed at the end. And that's about, like, a weird incestuous family. So, like, I feel like the castle has to, like, be destroyed at the end. And, but, like, and then in this, like, there's, like, flowers now. Like, it, like, everything's great. And then the world in the second movie is, like, almost entirely different.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about that with the flowers and, like, the whole thing of, like, the pastoralness of it on the outskirts of the city. So like just doing the research of this, like with the author Kikuchi, and you could look at this with Miyazaki too. And a lot of this has to do, a lot of this is prevalent in like The Boy and the Heron and My Neighbor Totoro. You see like a lot of people living in the country. Now he was born right after World War II. Same with Miyazaki. And where Kikuchi lived was about like 2 hours west of Tokyo. And just from what I heard, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were nothing compared to what Tokyo was.
Right. People think about those because those were the big bombs, but using just traditional bombs, Tokyo was like leveled.
Yeah. But like they were like, there was stories of like fire tornadoes and
like a lot of like civilians died. So yeah, like imagine you're a kid and you're going through that. You're gonna have post-apocalyptic dreams.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, this is what Godzilla is about. This is what this story is about. It's that fear of mutation. Like the nuclear fallout, or like this major thriving city is now just a barren wasteland, and we see that in this. Where you have this gorgeous countryside, nothing much is going on. You have these like little villages where people live a very simple life. And then you have this metropolis that no longer exists.
Yes.
And like the air is toxic. You can't even breathe there. Nobody could live there.
Yeah. Well, I really loved that it felt, everything felt anachronistic. It felt, actually, I got a lot of the Dark Tower from it.
Okay.
The Dark Tower books. And especially because in those books, they call like the old ones or the people before the fucking fallout, and like they have old ones tech, which you see this a lot in sci-fi and stuff, where it's like they have this stuff around that they don't even know really how to use it or why they use it, because they're living like this egalitarian, like almost like farmer life. Like I love that. Like in this movie, everything. It's like a mashup of so much. Like I was saying about like Star Wars, like what I liked about it was it felt like a sort of like mashup of all pop culture up until that point.
Yeah.
But it also has this like feeling of it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. Like the cities that we see here seem like little like European villages.
Yeah.
Yet then there's like farms that seem very like American farms. You've got like the mayor's son, Greco, who like is dressed like a dandy.
Yeah.
But then Dee's dressed like a samurai / cowboy.
Yeah.
You've got the castle, which at the top is like a European spooky castle. under that, it's the Death Star.
Yeah.
It's just the Death Star. Even Doris and her brother's farm, like, they've got, like, the shit right from Luke Skywalker's farm. Like, they definitely were looking at Star Wars and drew what
100%.
Like, that's like the moisture evaporator bullshit.
Exactly.
And it, and inside of Doris's house looks like, how did I put it? It looks like a successful Coke dealer's house from the 80s. Like that weird, like, couch that Dee sleeps on.
Yeah.
It's like the inside,
like,
compared to the out
century.
Yeah, like, and then but the outside's like fucking like this fucking farm.
Yeah.
But inside it's like wild. It looks like the fucking Bitches Leave house from fucking RoboCop.
It definitely has like the sunken
it's so weird.
Living room with the like U-shaped couch and stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, he sleeps with his hat on.
You wasn't that upsetting? You bet he does. And they use the same shots over. I mean, you could see the economics of like how they got this made.
Oh,
like, yeah, let's reuse as much as possible.
Like the sex scene in the room with Tommy Wiseau.
Yes, yes.
Because nobody was going to do that twice.
Wait, let me say something.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say it began over that awesome image.
Love
we
it.
We see... like words, it says, or an epigraph. This story takes place in a distant future when mutants and demons slither through a world of darkness.
What an elevator pitch.
Boom. I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. I got it.
Mm.
I got it.
We're living in a living hell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is, and by the way, I love the mutants. Like, first of all, this we know that there's going to be vampires in it because of the title.
Yeah.
But then there's just werewolves.
Yeah.
We were like, all right, cool. We got vampires and werewolves.
Yep. Yep.
Doris also like fights like a dinosaur in the first scene. And then we get into mutants.
Yeah.
And some mutants are like X-Men that like have powers like a fucking Ray does. And but then some mutants are just like weird, real Ghostbusters type monsters. My favorite image and scene is when he sneaks into like the Death Star fucking castle and he's just walking through the corridor of weird fucking
Pretty
monsters.
Pretty much he's just in the containment grid. It's like,
yes.
It's like when Indiana Jones is in the Temple of Doom and like they're like with all the bugs crawling all over him and stuff.
Dog comes after him. It's insane.
Do you know what this is? This movie is, you've told me about this, the whitest kids you know about the Star Wars sequel.
Yeah.
The two Chewbaccas. Yeah, yeah. It's just like whatever
two
it
Chewbaccas.
Is. Yes, it's going to be in this movie.
Yes.
And the entire movie.
What if one of the mutants, he has like holes on his back and he like shoots bugs at you? Yes.
Put him in.
Yeah. But then the main dude, he has like a face on his hand and that like sucks in. He
put
eats the bugs.
In.
That's in the movie.
It's in the movie.
It's in the movie.
Oh, man. This movie was written on Japanese cocaine.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we can kind of go through the story because it's a very simple story.
It's a very simple story. So you've talked about the opening shot. Beautiful shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we go right into we meet Doris Lang.
Yeah. And that's a cool shot, too, because it's like we're in the tall grass. Mm-hmm. We're like following her. We see her. She's wearing basically panties and then like, I guess like a, I don't know what you'd call it over that, but that's what she's wearing the
There's
whole
There's nothing
movie.
Over that.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Her boobs are out, very out. Mm. And then later on, the weird doctor like literally like grabs her boob.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. Yeah, but they're like Christian.
Yeah,
because they both her and the brother wear crosses.
Well, that's gonna keep the vampires away, Mike.
Yeah,
come on, you gotta know the rules. It's like,
but it's amazing.
The rules
that
of vampires don't exist except for that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
that's I feel like that's a trope you see in every modern vampire thing where like they'll take there's like seven rules and they'll take two and act like they're nonsense and then take the others and be like, no, that's true though.
Yeah,
like, ah, garlic, that's bullshit. That's from the movies. But yes, a cross will kill. Yeah. Yes, sunlight will kill. Okay, sure. Whatever you say.
Holy water is just water. Silver. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. She's like a dinosaur monster, basically.
Yeah, she fights a dinosaur monster. We learned very quickly that she comes from a line of werewolf hunters. So, like, these are professions. Like, what is she going to do with that dinosaur? Is that food?
That's a great question. I have no idea. She's got a cool laser gun too.
She's got the cool laser gun. She predates the Castlevania whip.
Yes, and that's kind of a laser whip.
Yeah, but like just the gore and her being scantily clad, you already know for
she
the,
shoots
like,
that fucking dinosaur's head.
Yeah,
basically and it
explodes.
Off.
Like we're talking about the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Honestly, and the so, first
this is not for children.
Yes,
this is a cartoon. This is not for children.
I feel like the first 5 minutes of this movie is incredible. It's just like just. You're just like, what am I watching? And then, like you said, like she kills the dinosaur, whatever, blah blah blah. And then lightning strikes, and Count Lee, named after Christopher Lee.
It has to be, right?
Yes, gotta be named after Christopher. It's very. They said that they're very influenced by the Hammer horror films, which is Hammer were these. British, it was a British company making kind of like remaking the Universal monster movies, but like much more gory and sexy. Mm. And that had Christopher Lee as Dracula and Peter Cushing as Frankenstein. Mm. And it's sort of happening around the same time that the Giallo movies are happening. And they have a lot in common with the Italian Giallo movies because it's like super colorful. That's the thing about this movie. It's so colorful.
Yeah.
It's like purples and blues and fucking pinks and reds and oranges. And it's just incredible.
That's why I like this D better than the D in...
Yeah,
like,
because it's mostly like, just dark.
Yeah, like it's like black leather.
Yes,
and it's like, oh, we've seen that already.
Yeah.
You influenced that, like we said before.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah, you're right.
He's got like, he's got like a poncho on in this one.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I agree. I like the way, I like his look better in this one.
But we see Magnus Lee.
Magnus, what a name.
This is the first vampire that I have ever seen that was not Count Dracula.
Okay.
And like, this guy scared me when
I
was
younger. He doesn't move.
Yeah.
The non-movement is what's scary. We don't even see him bite her.
No. It's that towering, cloaked figure. Yeah. Like
she shoots at him. It doesn't do anything.
No. No. It's like, this is a force to be reckoned with. But apparently, he's an outcast when it comes to the nobility of vampires. Mm-hmm. Like, this is... So, just like a quick lore for Vampire Hunter D. Like, vampires rule the land. They're like the top hierarchy nobility.
Which is interesting because that goes back to like Count Dracula is a count. He's a landowner. Like it's interesting. Like, yeah, I like that a lot.
This like because he has interactions with humans. Because
every 50 years or so, he gets a human wife to play with.
Well, and that's
who doesn't?
Who doesn't? This guy's bored. He needs some fun.
Can I tell you that's. I know I keep interrupting you, but I'm so excited about this movie. I love that that's his vibe. I love that he's not evil. Well, I mean, he's evil, but I love that he's not like, I want to take over the world. I love that he's just like, man, living forever is so boring.
Yeah.
If I want to like get a girlfriend just to fucking have some entertainment, why are you going to stop me? I love that.
I don't know. He's just trying to survive. I guess. Not even survive. Just live.
Yeah.
He's surviving.
He's alive, but he's not living.
Exactly. So every 50 years, he just tries to live. So like that habit, what... So the whole plot is he wants Doris to be his bride. He's infatuated with Doris because...
She only wears panties.
She's pantsless. And she is famous in the town of being strong-willed. She is... known as the most beautiful person in the town.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's the hard catch, right?
Yeah, yeah. So... Right, we see the mayor's son tries to creep on her and she kicks his ass.
This is a movie of its time, right?
Oh, like, yeah. People treat her... She's an object in this movie.
Well, people...
She's a cool character, but... Everyone either wants to fuck her or doesn't fuck her or like she's offering to fuck you for payment and it's like...
Pants are an option. Shorts.
Shorts. She really is wearing... She's wearing nothing. Mm. And then the little brother's like... He looks like fucking like Dragon Ball. Like his little outfit
he's
is like...
He's gone.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But Magnus Lee, because of this behavior... makes him an outcast with the other vampiric nobility.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of an outskirts town.
Yeah.
Like he's like, okay, we're going to give you this land. It's kind of a dump and that's it. It's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. So that's his backstory.
Yeah.
And then the guy's just, he's just bored.
He's just bored. Just, which, So like this movie's so much about style. It's you know, it's not really worth like finding plot holes in the narrative. But you do wonder, like, he bites her and then just lets her go to then later try to kidnap her. Why did he just take her then? Unless part of his joy is to, like, I'm going to get you later. Like, I'll bite you. Yeah. I'll start to turn you. And then I'll come back.
I think a lot of it has to do because, like, she has the vampire's kiss. Like, she's cursed. She's got the mark now.
Yeah.
So it's, like, giving you the chance to say goodbye to your family and, like, kind of, like, be shunned and stuff. Like, it's kind of like the Harry and the Hendersons, like, go out of here. Like kicking you out. Because it's, like, now you're going to be shamed
in society.
And you're going
to
be
kicked out of the general store.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you're in cahoots with the vampires. Cahoots. But it's so weird, though, because it's like they're like their rulers, but also people don't pretend to like vampires. People like fucking vampires. But it's also like we can't do anything about it. It's interesting.
Because they're like cattle, you know, like, unfortunately, like, yeah, that's crazy. It's sentient cattle, like, or self-aware cattle.
D has a cyborg horse.
Yeah,
you bet he fucking does.
Of course he does, because this is the future.
It's in the movie.
We can't stress enough, this is the future.
But isn't that a perfect example of, like, what this movie is, which is, like, it's not a car, it's not a motorcycle, it's a horse, which is old-fashioned-y, but it's a cyborg horse because it's future-y.
Efficient.
Yes, right. There's buggies in this.
Yeah.
Like, but also there's fucking the Count Lee lives in a Death Star castle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 10,000 years later. Right. So, who was it? It was between Stephen Colbert and Ricky Gervais, like when they were talking about science versus religion, and they were like, in 10,000 years, when all the books burn, it's like, what will come back? It's like, there will still be a religion, but we'll be probably told a different way, but science, the formulas will always stay the same. So it's like, with this, it's like, society has burnt down. So now when it rebuilds, now it's like, okay, we have these horses, so, like, are we going to reinvent the wheel? Are we going to make automobiles, or are we going to do this? Or it's like, yeah, we have flying machines, but, like, we're rebuilding technology into these.
And it seems like they have technology around that they don't really know. They've got to try to reverse engineer things. They don't, like, really know why some of these things work.
Right.
I just think there's also, like, beyond mutants, there's also, like, weird, like, fog monster things, like that red
blob with the skeleton on the thing. Form. Yeah.
Okay. But again, I like that things aren't explained.
Yeah.
So Doris meets D.
Yes.
D's just coming through town. She, like, I guess she whips his hand, like, kind of like
challenges. She just has to test him.
Right. To see if he's, like, good enough. And then she asks him to help her. And he's like, okay, because that's what he do. Then they go to town. We meet the mayor's son and his lackeys.
Just a side note, though. So Doris, Dan, D, everybody's name has to be D in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we meet Dan, too, first.
Yes, Dan.
So
right. One
thing I just want to say this.
He's shooting at the red thing.
Just give the kid the
gun.
That's
like eating his cattle.
Oh, yeah. He really looks, that's where you see, like, the shameness of it all. Like, he's now seeing D as a
father
figure, or, like, a big brother. One thing that, like, I barely remembered the movie when I first saw it. And, like, one thing that always stuck with me, even the first time I saw it, is, like, when D's, like, sitting there cross-legged. And then Dan just looks at him and he, like, crosses his legs. Even when I was seven and so, I was like, oh, that's cute. But it's like, yeah, he idolizes this person.
Yeah.
People connect to D so much. I think this is a span of 3 days.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you live in hell and then, like, some cool dude walks through who doesn't say a lot. He's got a robot horse.
I'm in.
And he's like, I'm not afraid of all the things. You guys live in constant fear and I'm not afraid of those things. And you're like, well, then this is the guy I want to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they roll into this Victorian Western town.
Right. They meet the doctor, one doctor.
Is it Professor Oak from Pokemon? It looks like Professor Oak. I think his race changes in the middle of the movie.
Well, he does become a vampire.
No, prior to that. I'm like, his skin color changed.
He's an odd duck. He gives us a little bit of a backstory of the camp. Because when we find out, when the rest of the town... Oh, but you should say, because the mayor's son is denied his sexual advances. He, like a complete dick, just puts her on Front Street and just goes like, hey, everybody, fucking Doris was bitten by a vampire.
What an asshole.
Right. Just total fucking, total cuck move. And so now everyone knows, and the mayor's like, well, the mayor, his dad is like, we got to put you in a camp.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
Then, yeah. And, but then the doctor's like, we haven't used the camp in 50 years. And don't forget the last time we put someone in a camp, it made the vampire so angry, he killed like 50 people.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And then D was like, just leave it with me. She'll be fine. And they're like, you know what? I don't know a goddamn thing about you, but I like the cut of your gym. Man. So
love that hat.
So
I love that COVID mask you got going on too.
I also like that he's so still, but like things move around him. Like when we first see him, his like long hair and cape are like moving, but like he's completely still. Mm. I love it. It's like,
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it. Does he has toxic masculinity. He tells Dan, he's like, don't cry.
No, real men don't cry.
Do not cry.
Don't cry in front of her.
Well, no, first he says,
taught me how to not cry in front of a, in front of anybody.
Well, first he says, you can cry. That's okay. But don't cry in front of your sister. You have to be strong for her because she's become a vampire and that sucks. One thing I do like about the second movie, by the way, is it's a cool reversal of the story, because in that one, the female wants to be a vampire. Yeah. She runs, like, the second one's actually more like the Western, The Searchers, because chasing after this girl who really doesn't want to be saved. But anyway, so yeah, they go back to the house and he's like, tomorrow is the woman's moon.
Oh, yeah.
The red blood moon that comes once a month. And vampires believe that any blood shed under the woman's moon is like, it's like not good. You don't want to drink that. Yeah. Which means they're coming tonight, probably, to get you.
And who do we get?
We get fucking
Ray Ginzey.
Ray, who is, he looks exactly like Sting from the original Dune.
Yes. He's with a wild, like, rat tail.
He's got like white hair with like a red fur. I love this. What an anti-hero. I love this guy. Yeah. He's got like a cool power. He can bend time and space.
Yeah, it's like if I stab you, I'm stabbing myself. Don't know how it works, but cool, man.
Yeah, and then he's with, what's her name? Lamaka? Lamika? I forget
her. Maornica? Hold on. It took me a couple of times to get it. Hold on. I phonetically spelt it out.
Lamika or Lamaka.
Who is Magnus Lee's daughter.
Right. And she's interesting.
Laormica.
And I feel like she is like an inversion kind of like Princess Leia.
Okay.
She's got like almost like has Leia buns on her ears, and she's this princess and she's like snotty. And her whole thing is like she's super racist and she's
blood purity. She's like the Malfoy of.
Yes. She's like, father, how can you date this woman? She's going to ruin our bloodline.
Yeah. Really? She
takes the whole nobility thing really seriously.
Mm. Well.
And they fight. Right. Well, she gets the greatest comeuppance.
Oops.
They do some. So let me ask you, Little Bill, watching this, this is like some real anime. We're jumping up and fighting in the air in front of a moon shit. What was your feeling watching it? Were you like, holy shit?
Why are there so many lines?
Right.
With the action lines. The only word I could say is intense. Like,
right.
Even though, again, like there's not much physical action going on. The only other time that I have seen this, I don't know if you've ever played the game Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
On Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
The opening cinematic to that game.
Yeah.
I probably only played the first level, but the opening cinematic, I don't know if you remember it. It's like two ninjas in a field.
Yeah.
They run at each other, jump up, and you see the moon, and then you just see like they're about to collide into each other. And then it's a flash, and then you see one of the ninjas fall, and like the feet of the other person.
Yeah.
Like he's standing over them. And it's like, that's this fight.
Yes.
But it's like, that was like a trope in anime.
Yeah.
I am, even to this day, I'll watch that 100 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to answer your question, yes.
Incredible. It's incredible. And D seems to not sweat any fight.
No.
He's kind of like, and this is good, like, truly Doris is the protagonist, because D, he doesn't emote a lot. He doesn't speak a lot. He's like, or another example would be like Mad Max in the Mad Max movies. Like after that first movie, he's like never really the protagonist.
No,
it's just sort of like Max is there.
Yeah. He's just helping out.
He's just there. Like Doris is the one who's really like the story is happening to. Mm-hmm. And Dee is kind of just like, yeah, I'm going to fight you. Oh, I'm going to stab you. Oh, wait, you're bending time and space, so I'm stabbing myself. Mm-hmm. This sucks. Oh, I heal immediately. Mm. He's got fucking Wolverine-type powers.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
To name a few powers.
Oh, yeah. The powers are great. Like, the powers that Count Lee has is, like, he like, uses eye lasers to, pick things up. And
We've gone well beyond just, like, turning into a bat. And sucking blood, or what else? Like from the original Bram Stoker, he could be smoke.
Yeah,
it's mostly metamorphosis.
Well, Count Lee has a smoke friend, like in his throne room. Mm. He's first of all, that shot is amazing, where he's sitting and his eyes look black, and then like lightning strikes, and then you see the yellow of his eyes.
I love a lot of the shading on him.
Like, so incredible, and like they get so much out of having him not move, just stillness with him. And then like if you remember, like there's fog in his room, and then like it'll go like, and you'll be like, oh, okay, well let me tell you this, and it's like he's talking to the fog. What is happening?
It also makes me ask this for D, for Count Magnus, like are they also mutant? Like has there been some type of mutation throughout the years, like, and that's why like they have these abilities as well?
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. I don't know.
Also, he kind of reminds me a little of like Stan Pines. Like he's kind of got that look.
Yes, he's a little hefty.
Hmm.
He reminds me a little bit of Rutger Hauer as the bad guy from Buffy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because I was thinking Blade Runner, but definitely. Oh wow, that's probably why they casted him. If they saw this movie,
yeah.
When did Buffy come out? 93? 90, like I mean
92 or 3, I think.
There had to have been some influence with that.
Yeah.
Buffy. I completely forgot how it was in that.
92.
So that's around the time that this was in the States.
Yeah. So then what? So, okay, they're fighting. He basically wins. They don't die, but he wins.
Yeah.
And they kind of retreat. We should say, like, part of the style of this movie is, like, the women have huge foreheads, tiny mouths, and giant eyes, but even more so than like other anime, like the Lamica's forehead is gigantic.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah, that's something I took away the first time I saw it. I was like, she's got a big head.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like the proportions are insane. And I guess what happens next, he goes. I think now he sneaks into the castle, right?
Yeah, he makes that insane jump. I didn't think he was going to make that.
Yes.
And then he goes into that horde of monsters that you saw.
I should say, when they're fighting, when he heals, that's when Lamech is like, oh, you're a dampier.
Yes.
She, because he heals so quickly, she realizes he's half vampire, half person.
And I guess like the hatred is just because it's like, oh, you walk amongst the humans. He's mudblood. Yeah, he's a mudblood. Right. And also it's like you have all... There's a jealousy to it.
Yeah.
It's like you'll never be as powerful as us, but you have our privileges, but also you're not rolling with us. You know, like, or right. Like you have the ability to.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I mean...
But he's got a cool vibe too, because his vibe is almost like, y'all are fake fucking vampires, because the real old ancient vampires are cooler than you.
Yeah.
Like it's an interesting vibe, because it's almost like... Like, I'm more legit than you.
Yeah.
You guys are fakers. Because we see Lamica, I'm going to keep saying it wrong.
She's only 50.
She's like...
She doesn't know.
She's talking to a portrait of Dracula. Or talking at it. It doesn't talk back. And she's like... by the way, that shocked me. I was like, okay, Dracula exists in this world.
Okay, so we're in agreement that it's Dracula, though, because they only address him as a sacred ancestor.
She says Dracula.
She does?
Yeah, at least in the dub I saw, she says the name Dracula at least once.
Because in the original dub, when Magnus says that you're the spawn of the sacred ancestor,
yeah,
he says Dracula instead of the sacred ancestor.
Really?
So that's why, like, yes, D 100% is Alucard.
Yes, he is... I mean, like, he even looks like him. Like, at the end, like, cut to the end when Lee and Dee are fighting, he, like, looks at the portrait of Dracula, and he looks at Dee, and he's like, oh, I see a resemblance. Yeah. This is why he's so strong. It should have been,
like,
that,
like, cross-eyed, like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's a dampier, but he's also, like, way better and faster and stronger and not able. You can't kill him the way you could kill other dampiers. Yeah. And he also, like, goes into, like, beast mode where he, like, turns blue and his fangs come out and, like, he could do crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, that's unusual. He sneaks into the bowels of the castle, which just look like the Death Star.
But he, like, descends into the catacombs, which is level 6 in Castlevania 1. You get to a certain point and then you drop into the pit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got all those monsters that you were saying about, like, amazing character design.
It's so weird. It really reminds me of the ghosts from Real Ghostbusters, but, like, with more goriness. Like, there's more danger there.
Like, how do you?
And
he
doesn't give a shit. He's just walking through. He's like, we should say he has a sword that it almost looks like a katana, but it's not. It's long and thin and slightly curved, but it's not a katana. And it's hilt, the way the hilt is made, it looks like a crucifix a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he uses it to fucking just cut people and entities completely in two.
Yeah.
He's very good with it. He just fucks up a bunch of people. There's one, like, weird, it's interesting because there's, like, different levels of mutant, because then there's the one that, like, looks like a person but it doesn't speak, and it's like, wah, 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 and it's like, it's like purple and flies around like a fucking flying squirrel. Like, it's got like the long, like, I don't know, like, skin, so it's kind of like floating around, and he fights that thing. And is that when he comes up to the sirens? The sirens are great character designs.
It's like a siren, hydra. I think they say that they're
it's
descendants.
One being, really.
Yes.
But they're, like, three appendages of one being.
Yes, but did I hear something right where saying they were descendants of a Gorgon, like they were Medusa?
Oh, really? Maybe.
But, like, yeah, it's a Hydra Siren Gorgon.
Right,
like,
right.
Which, by
but
the
they
way...
they work like a siren because they pull him in. But also immediately then put on, like, weird snake faces.
Which, can we stop with the trope of, like, all, like, serpents have a lisp? Where, like can we stop with that? Like, we know, we see the tongue, we see, like, the reptilian eyes. Like, you don't have to do this.
With these, there is one of the heads talks first, and then the other will repeat it.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck is that? And then they
that
rap.
Must be annoying, like, just in regular conversation.
Just like, that's why fucking Count Lee doesn't go down there a lot.
No,
he's like, how
all.
You guys doing today? And, like, we're good. We are good. He's like, oh, fuck. All right, I'm going back up to the throne room to talk to the fog. He's much cooler than you guys.
Either one of you speak or you all speak at the exact same time, please.
I'm not going to have this.
And or why not, like, one at a time? Like,
yeah, it's like, weird that two decided one was the best one. They wrap themselves around D.
Yes.
And they're, like, trying to sap his life. And, like, it's, like, sexual.
Yeah.
Like, even Count Magnus Lee is like, look at them, they're in ecstasy, they've been draining him for a day.
Yeah, eyes rolled in the back of their head, and
he doesn't look like he's having such a bad time either.
No, but is
who doesn't want to be drained?
Is this the they had snoo snoo. Is this the first time that we've ever seen a vampire or a dampier feed on a non-human?
That's interesting. Does he feed or does he just bite her?
I think he's dying. Well, I mean, can he ever really?
Them feeding on him.
They're feeding on him, so, like, he's got to get some of his strength back.
But she's not. They're. I don't think of them as vampires. I think that they're.
No, he feeds on, like, he bites into the neck of one of them.
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're just, like, sucking his energy through, like, what is it? Mitosis. I forget. I'm bad at chemistry.
I don't know if it does in the 41 books, but they never explain in this movie, like, what the blood situation is. Like, is it like Twilight, where, like, they work at a hospital so they have access to blood banks, or does
it spoiled?
Or do they, like, eat rats? Like, there's never a thing where it's like, oh, I just, like, drain bunny rabbits, that's how I eat. Like, you don't know how. Unless maybe because he's part human, he can just have, like, a sandwich. Like, I don't know.
Well, I've always under the assumption, because later on we see left hand get energy from just eating dirt from his hand. So it's like, is that how his whole body works?
Oh,
like,
maybe left hand does the eating?
Probably. I don't know. You know, this movie's anything it wants to be. And it works.
The whole left hand thing, it comes out of when we're inside Doris and Dan's house, we hear a voice talking to Dee. And at first you think like maybe it's like an inner monologue or like something like that. And then he takes off his glove and you see he's got a face on his hand, and he touches Doris, and she understandably faints as he touches her shoulder. And then I like him better in this movie, by the way. In the second movie, Bloodlust, he's very jokey.
Yeah.
He's a little shticky, and I'm like, that's the last thing I want from a hand.
Yeah. He's got like a Bruce Campbell or like a John Benjamin type of
Bruce Campbell. I'm glad you said that. This comes out before Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
And when...
You have an idle hand.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. When the hand is cut off towards the end and it like crawls back to him, I'm like, that's fucking Evil Dead.
Yeah.
The only thing before that is maybe like the Addams Family.
Yeah.
But even the original Addams Family, like, it didn't move like that. It came out of a box.
Yeah. More about that. Just a quick thing about the hand. So like, just, I did watch that video on the hand. It makes no sense. There's like these like pygmy people that like that alchemist created. We're talking, this is in the 41 books.
Sure.
And he was like part of that. Like he was like a, like kind of like a pygmy person. Which I don't think that's the right term to use these days, but like for science. And Dee, when he was created, because apparently Dee was created in a lab by Dracula, he was a conjoined twin.
Oh, he's like fucking Rey Skywalker?
Yeah, pretty much.
he's a clone sitch?
Kinda. Okay. I guess it explains why, I mean, other than just being the spawn of Dracula, like why he is so, but he's a science project. He's an alchemist science project.
Okay.
And he was separated from his conjoined twin. So I guess he's got a twin out there somewhere, Vampire Hunter C. And so.
Is that the hand? Is the hand his?
No. Oh, okay. The hand was another experiment in this alchemist lab that, like, after he was separated from his conjoined twin, that he was attached to. Okay. But he's been attached to him for thousands of years, and that's why, like, they have a relationship. They have like a work relationship.
Yeah, you know, they're
like,
not.
They don't like each other.
No, yeah. They're not super into each other.
No. Even on those lonely nights.
I know. That joke is not made. Where I feel like if this were made now, that joke would be made almost immediately. They kidnap Doris to bring her to the castle. Lamaka does. And she says something really weird. Ray is like gonna kidnap her, and she's like, I'll bite my tongue and kill myself.
She goes 100% way too much.
But is that a way to kill yourself?
No, you're just gonna be in a lot of pain.
But he's like, all right, but it works. He's like, all right, fine, I guess. I don't know. He's like Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows. What he wants is to be turned.
Yeah.
That's his big thing. Like, you know, if I'm a good servant, Magnus Lee will turn me and I get to be a vampire.
Oh, this is Ray.
Ray.
Yeah. Boomerang Man.
Right.
We haven't talked about that. How cool the boomerang is.
Yeah, he's got like kind of like a boomerang sword fucking thing.
Isn't it like the kid from Road Warrior? Like boomerang kid?
Yes.
Boomerangs were cool in the 80s, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wants to be a vampire. So he's
That's what he wants.
So we have these mutant vampire crossbreeds.
Yeah. Let's see. Ray comes across. Ray's in town. He comes across Greco, the son of the mayor, which it's a weird scene because it doesn't really make sense. Like, Greco's like watching him, like in like a weird like James Brown bathroom situation where he's got like hidden cameras set up. Like, it's like, oh, the mayor's son. He makes us put cameras in the rooms, and this is where we learned about the most confusing, underdeveloped, insane thing in the movie, which is the. What is it called? The Time Bewitching Incense?
Yes, which is just a candle.
No one lights it, first of all. Yeah. Also, how does it bewitch time? All it seems to do is make vampires unhappy.
Yeah, and if it's incense, like, just don't smell it. Like,
what is time? Time has nothing to do with any part of it.
It's just a candle.
Right.
Like, they could have just said, like, this is an ultraviolet light, and vampires don't like light.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a magic candle. It looks lovely.
Maybe it's something different in Japan. Like, you know, like... like, you know, when they localize things, sometimes it don't make any sense. Like, no. They'd be like, this is a delicious donut. And it's like, you're clearly eating, like, sushi. You know what I mean? Shit like that. Like, maybe, like, I don't know, maybe it makes some more sense.
But don't you think enough time has passed with a new dub that they would have figured that out by now? It's like, this is a huge plot point of the movie.
Can we just take the word time out of there? Because I'm thinking time turner. I'm thinking we could, like, rewind things. Mm. Time has nothing to do with anything with this. This thing just basically, like, puts out a loud noise. Kryptonite. Yeah, to vampires.
To vampires.
It makes them unhappy and in pain. So, yeah, some, like, servant mutant of Lee gives that to Ray. I don't know why Ray is... Why he's in a hotel room in the town, I don't know, whatever. But he gets the idea, the mayor's son gets the idea to steal it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So Ray goes and confronts Dee with it, like, almost immediately.
Yeah. Like,
oh, wait, no.
No, wait. There's a lot of back and forth. Yeah. So, oh, wait, okay, so.
He kidnaps Dan.
No, that's after.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wait. This is where the plot goes.
Yeah, all right, so at this point, Ray has kidnapped Doris. Doris goes to the castle. Doris talks to Magnus Lee. Magnus Lee shows her, like, this is what your hero is doing now, and you see him wrapped up in, like, the sirens. Yes. And that's when she learns he's a dampier.
Yes.
And she's sort of, like, blown away by it. And then that's when he fucking, like, goes into beast mode and kills them.
Yes.
He... gets Doris, gets the fuck out of there, goes back to the farm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the mutants go back, or Ray goes back, and now he steals Dan.
Yes. But before that, can we just talk about, like, when she tried to, like, throws himself at him and he has that, like, weird edging scene?
Yes. Yes, please.
But, like, it's a vampiric edging scene. It's not, it's
very Twilight. It's exactly like... Yeah.
I want that gif, though. Your brother sends me a gif of RoboCop, like, when he's, like, getting electrocuted or something like that.
Yeah.
But it looks, the gif. You probably get it all the time, too.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's
coming. Yeah, yeah.
So I want to replace that with this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very Twilight.
Yeah. Alamo's been playing the Twilight movies, and Jen likes them. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching them, and I had seen the first couple, but now I'm in new territory. Mm. And, you know, they're certainly interesting. I don't know if I like them, but they're interesting. And they're certainly weird. And it's very Twilight. Because, like, first of all, she's showing him her vagina because she's wearing a robe and it's, like, opened. So, but it's a medium shot, so we only see up from her waist, and we can see, like, her belly button. So you would know that the robe is open enough that she's, like, showing vagina.
Very comfortable with a person she met yesterday.
Yes. She's like, I want to fuck. She's into him being a dampier. No. She's like, I am into it. And
like I said, she goes 100% all the time.
She, like, holds him or hugs him, and he sees her sexy neck, and it's like, he's like, oh, I want to suck her blood. It's a vampire moment. It's like the I can't.
Yeah.
And
for reasons,
right?
Don't know what. Like,
I guess he fights his nature.
Don't know. You got to live your truth. That's why. No, I'm tired of shaming Doris, you're a vampire. Too. Like, everybody's got to live their truths. You want to walk around no pants? Walk around no pants.
It's her fucking house.
You want to threaten to bite your tongue off and kill yourself? Like, look, I'm not for that.
If you met somebody as cool as Dee, you'd fuck him in a day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on. First of all, he just saved you from the devil's fucking castle.
Yeah. Ready to collapse at any minute.
Yeah, come on.
He didn't have to go in there. He's like a firefighter.
So Ray kidnaps Dan, puts him at the top of, like, a weird spire.
Didn't have to do that, but
yeah. Right. He also leaves, like, a letter, like, come and find Dan. And Dee's like, okay, fine. Dee goes to fight Ray. Ray has what he thinks is the fucking time distorting, whoever the fuck it is.
The candle. It's the candle. Time. Let's call it the candle.
The time bewitching incense. Mm. It's not lit.
No.
But it's also not working, which we find out it's because it's a fake. I guess the mayor's son went out and got a fake made and did a switcheroo.
He went to Yankee Candle and was just like, here you go.
Yeah. They fight. Ray puts a stake through Dee's heart.
And, which, like, you think kills vampires.
And it kind of does a little bit, though. Yeah. He's, like, kind of dead.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of blood shoots out of him. And oh wait, before that, when he's got the fucking time turner, Dee uses a sword to cut off Ray's hand.
Right.
So now Ray's sans hand.
Which you think that, like, you know, he's expecting if Dee does that, Dee's hand would have gotten cut off.
Right.
Which it does anyway.
Which it does. That's how he gets him back.
Yeah.
After he's supposedly killed him.
Right.
And then he's sort of like dead or like in a fugue state. That's when his hand like gets up and reconnects itself mm-hmm. to the body and is like trying to wake him up. And that big red cloud bullshit is coming to eat them or whatever.
Is it threatening?
I guess because the hand is like, come on, let's get up. We got to go now. We got to go now. He eats dirt, as you said.
Yes.
And then he like sucks the red thing in. He eats the red thing.
Well, you know what? If a vampire travels, mm-hmm. they have to bring dirt from their homeland.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to be buried with, like, they have to put that in their coffin.
So there's a dirt thing.
Yeah, so there's a dirt thing. He has to eat the earth. Oh, wow. Maybe. They did their homework. Kikuchi, good job.
Interesting. If that's what it is.
I'm meeting them halfway.
I like it. I also, like I said, I don't need anything to make sense in this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with nothing making sense. I enjoy it so much.
By the way, I think that this is the first movie. This is the first time I've ever heard the word bastard. I've never heard the word bastard in my life, and it's really used generously in this movie.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
The doctor comes to Doris and is like, I'll help you find your brother, but he's been turned.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like an old creep. Like he snatches her crucifix, but then quickly just like pulls a booby out. And he's like, eh. And he's like, you know, yesterday I would have thought of you like a granddaughter. And like,
it's creepy. Yeah. It's so creepy. His whole thing.
But then Lamika is great, or Lamika is great when she's like, you are really annoying me. And she just kills him.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
You get the face turn from Ray.
Before that, God.
Yeah, I thought he was on the road.
The mayor's son.
That's with the real
fucking time bewitching incense comes and like, Lamica's like all fucked up and Doris is like, oh, leave her alone. And then who is it? Is it Dan? I think Dan or Dee, coming back from having saved Dan, shoot the mayor's son and he like falls off a cliff. Right.
You see, I got Greco and Ray mixed up because yeah. You know, similar hair.
Yeah.
Similar hair and triangular shape.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Then they go back to the castle?
What happens after
that?
I think Glorica brings Doris to the castle. See, that's the thing. It's like so much happened. Like, it's like you got these like bookends. But it's also
blissfully like 90 minutes. This movie's like.
I think it's 80.
If you know anything about me, every movie should be 90 minutes.
Yeah.
No need for a movie to be longer than that.
No.
It's blissfully short.
A 2-hour movie is an epic for me.
Oh, wait. In that scene, by the way, Greco calls Lamica a coffin-dwelling tramp, which is just incredible.
That should have been on your burn episode.
Yes, it should have been. If I had only known it, if I had only seen it at that time. We see Doris in the shower. She's got butt cheeks and boobs. That's pretty gratuitous scene.
Mm.
Like the shower scene.
Again, unnecessary. I think they really just wanted to drive.
Okay. We had it wrong. After this is when she shows him her vagina.
See, that's the thing. It's like they keep going back to the house.
It's literally a line that they go back and forth. One, two, back.
It's like, shit, we went to the castle? Oh, we got to go again.
Let's see. Count Lee reveals to Lamica that she is a dampier and she's got filthy blood on her.
That's her comeuppance.
And she is in full denial. She's like, take back that falsehood. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. You're a fucking... Yeah.
He reveals the whole, like, what we were saying before about, like, I'm bored every 50 years. I pick out a human. And
right.
He's
right,
like
right.
Zeus.
Yes. You know? Like, and Ray is like, please, like, fulfill what your promise. And he's like, what was that promise? He's like, to turn me into a vampire. And he's like, nah, you're lucky I don't kill you. But maybe ask me again in 50 years. And he's like, 50 years? Which is interesting because, again, it's like that thing of like when you're immortal, like it's like a week.
Yeah.
And it's like 50 years, I'll be old. Cool. And that's when Ray's like, fuck it. Now I'm fighting on the good guy's side.
Guess what I still have? And then doesn't he pull out the candle on
Magnus? Yes,
and
he does.
Just like, this is shit to me.
Yeah, he does. That does not affect him. Right. Also, you have, I guess he like Magnus like hypnotizes or bewitches Doris because she's kind of going along with everything at this point. And there's like a funeral, not funeral, a sort of wedding procession.
So haunting. Like just the cloaked figures and everything. Like,
and they're just like walking pretty cool. through.
They're walking through the Death Star.
Yes.
Which is in a castle.
Yeah, to go to, you know, because, you know, he might be an evil vampire, but he's not just going to fuck a human without being married to her. No, he's not a scumbag. So he's got to get married to her.
But he's got to get married in a certain place. Like, there has to be a procession. Yeah. Like, they can't just, like, have... Well, there was a demonic type of officiant, right?
Yeah.
But, like, isn't he the highest ruler of that land? Like, who's going to...
Yes, but...
Tradition.
Yeah, exactly. Dan sneaks into the Death Star somehow.
Yeah.
And he comically, like, comes to, like, bonk Count Lee on the head and just literally, like, bounces off to
balls
his...
balls on this kid.
To his death, basically, if if not for Rey catching and saving him. And then Rey is, like comes up to him with the thing, with the fucking time turner. He's like, that don't do nothing to me. His death is pretty brutal. He fucking... Count Lee uses his, like... It looks like Superman laser eyes, but it's more like telekinesis. He's, like, basically, like... uses the force to like bang him into walls, like into putty, and then explodes his head.
Yeah, and he's like, that's another surreal image where it's like now they're walking into that hallway, and then like you got Rey like upside down, like exploded on
it's
the,
pretty
on
wild.
The wall.
It's pretty wild.
That's why, like, I mean, the other thing that, to take away anything is this movie is full of surreal images.
Yes.
You know, like, I would love like six different posters.
Well, how about this image? Shots. How about this image? They're doing the wedding to like kiss the bride. He's a Count Lee's about to bite into Doris's neck, and then a knife just flies right into his eyeball.
Does it have the sound like it's gross? Like, I wanted to hear a comical sound, like a
yeah. And he's not bothered by it really. No. He just pulls it out and pulls the eye out with it.
Yeah,
and then the eye just sort of sucks back in because I guess he also has superhero healing powers.
Yes.
And then they're fighting. It's the big showdown between them. Count Lee calls, tells him he's not. Oh no! Details Count Lee that he's not a true nobility. He says something like, "You're a transient guest on this land or whatever." Mm. He says the real nobles are all dead. Count Lee calls him a mongrel because he's a damn peer.
Yeah.
In the second movie, it's mistranslated to damn peel, and everyone says damn peel, but that doesn't make sense because damn peer like vampire, right?
Yes.
Lee uses his force powers to throw D around the room, and then he takes D's sword again, all using the force, and is like gonna cut D's head off. D's nuts. He's gonna cut D's nuts off with his own sword. And then what happens?
D goes into berserker mode.
Yes, the castle is crumbling. The castle starts crumbling. Lamaka starts calling Count Lee does the thing with Dracula's painting. He's like, you look at Dracula. Lamaka is like, starts calling him secret ancestor. And she's like, should I stay here and die? And he's like, you're a damn peer. You're part human. You could do whatever you want. You can make your own decisions. But I can't really make my own decisions.
I could have sworn I saw this in this movie, but like, where is this from? I thought once he realized that D was Dracula's son, he like clenched his teeth until his teeth broke, but that wasn't
that's
in this movie.
That's not in this movie.
I don't know what that is.
Probably. It's not ringing a bell to me.
Oh. Would have been cool though.
Yeah, would have been.
It would have been.
I mean, the whole eye thing is pretty fucking baller. Yeah, Lamaka, she doesn't accept it. She dies with the castle. The good guys leave. Mm. They watch the castle. It doesn't get sucked into the ground. There's like a space underneath it. I think it's like sucked into another dimension or something.
Yeah, because then you have that whole like vortex, like kind of like time's passing. Or
like a bunch of like weird, like it's snowing. It's not like weird shit happens. And then that wasteland kind of is like now green and grassy and like nice.
But again, in my argument of Castlevania took everything from this, every Castlevania game, at the end, they're standing on top of a hill and watching the castle crumble.
Wow. They took so much from this.
So much. And that's from the first game, too.
Did you watch any of the Netflix anime?
Religiously.
I watched the first season and loved it, but I kind of fell off of it. What, do they have two more seasons after that?
They have two more seasons of the Trevor Belmont one, and then they follow Richter Belmont in a new series, Castlevania Nocturne. So it's just a it's a descendant of Trevor.
Oh, okay. I remember really loving that first season. I got to get back into that.
I mean, now watching this, 100% go back. Like, you don't even have to play the games. Watch the show, and you'll see.
It's its own thing. It's a pretty good adaptation. Yeah. Like, and that's kind of it. Like, we've won the day. D is just, like, leaving town. Everyone's like, bye. I guess he never fucked her. Good for him. Although he might not want, I don't know. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, and that's the end.
That's it.
That's like, Vampire Hunter D.
It was probably seven scenes. And
It's the farm, the castle, the farm, the castle, the farm, the castle, the village a few times. Mm. But just
a simple movie with a lot of great ideas.
Amazing colors, amazing design. Like every fucking, like, even like the weird mutant that gives Ray the time bewitching incense. It's like, what are you? Like,
he reminds me of that Jedi, Kupla. Oh, you know, the one I'm like,
the one who's he's got like a mask, like,
yeah,
it's like organic and mechanic at once. Like,
not Kit Fisto.
No.
The other one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Tuklo or something. I don't know.
Yeah. The silly Jedi.
The fans of this are going to kill me now.
I thought that this was a TV series. Maybe that's one of the reasons I didn't ever watch it, because I feel like it's probably too big a thing.
Yeah.
Like, when I had no idea, like, because it does loom large. I know there was just two films.
Yeah.
Like 20 years apart. Mm. Like, there's like, I don't know if there's any of the same production.
No.
And this is basically the first book.
Yes.
And then the second film,
I really know nothing about sure it. I saw it once, and it was when it came out.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's got cool, it's got better side characters than the first one, because there's like a team of vampire hunters that are like, kind of a long, it's a more complicated story.
Yeah.
It's sort of objectively a better story, but the style and everything, I like the first one much more. Yeah.
Again, because it's more original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It like the original, again, it's a nothing of a movie, and it's and it has everything. Like, it's so hard to explain, because I've never seen a movie like it that predated it.
Yes.
You know, like,
and it's a good, it's also like for, you can see why it was a good gateway for some American audience members, because it's anime, but also it's dealing so much with Western themes.
Yes,
like it's got a European look to it, and the castle and stuff, and like the vampire lore. Mm. So it's almost like it really like goes out of its way, maybe not on purpose, but it's very welcoming to a Western audience.
Yeah.
Do you remember back in the 90s, before anime was like an entity that people knew, people would use the cringeworthy term Japanimation?
Yes.
Do you remember people saying Japanimation?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that was...
I think there were more derogatory terms.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. Yeah, fucking... It's good. I mean, we just talked about it, but... It's still an experience. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's not a huge story. It's not a great story. It's just stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. I mean, fucking just like...
It's seven different genres all working at the same time.
Eat some mushrooms and watch this. Yeah. And just fucking... Well, your head will explode.
That's the thing. Like, you being a fan of anime, you being a fan of Japanese culture and everything, it was amazing that you have not seen it. So, and that really speaks levels to... Just like the listening audience to this, like just anybody, like I really hope, like my hope for this episode is that people will finally see a podcast episode about Vampire Hunter D, because to find any media covering this, at least in the United States, there's nothing. And it's the one thing to take away from this is watch this movie. Just like
watch it.
You've just listened to us for the last hour and a half talk about this, but like, watch this movie. It is such a trip.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
And as much as we're selling it, it's not selling it enough.
Yeah, it's just, it's art, man. It's fucking art. God damn it. All right, guys. This has been an amazing episode. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for bringing this into my life.
Thank you for watching.
You have made my life better, and I thank you for it.
I have not shared this with really anybody except for the my buddy Billy and my brother and everybody I watched that Hotbox movie with. So I'm glad that I brought you into that.
We should at some point do an episode on the second movie because I think it is worth talking about, and yeah, there's some cool shit in it. Bill, we've said it all. Thank you for being here. Bill Gagliardi, William J. Gagliardi. What's your actual middle name?
Joseph.
I was right. William J.
And you know what my brother's middle name is?
What?
William. It's William Joseph and Joseph William.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like a bit? Were your parents doing a bit?
You know, when he got married, they said, do you, William Joseph, take so-and-so, my sister-in-law, to...
So you're legally married to your sister-in-law.
Yes, that is correct.
That's how law works. That's how the law of God works. Because of
the officiant's mistake.
Yes.
You mean you're not Michael Anthony? Bassist from Van Halen?
No, I'm Michael Christopher.
Oh.
Yeah. My parents are like, we want the most uninteresting names we could put together. Well, listen, this is PCMC. We come out every Wednesday, and I want to talk because let me tell you something. I look at the numbers, and the numbers are looking good. Nice. So I want to say, for those who this might be their first episode, welcome. This is PCMC. This is a nice place where we talk about nice things. We are not here to be mean and toxic. Do we make fun of things that are bad? Sure. But we don't go on smear campaigns and try to kick people off Twitter.
And no shaming for being pantsless either.
Yeah, no. Listen, live your life, Doris. Her name is Doris.
Doris.
A sexier name there's never been.
She's Werewolf Hunter Day.
Yes, yes. Guys, all right. PCMC comes out every Wednesday. We're also on YouTube. Bill, thank you for being here. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.